As before, they deem the purpose of their life is experience, perhaps eventually to be followed by understanding. The difference is that they are no longer restricted to a single world and brief glimpses of the stars. Now the entire universe is laid out before them, they wish to know it all. They begin to drift away from the odd planet which birthed them, tentatively at first, then with greater boldness, dispersing like an expanding wave of eager ghosts. One day they will return to this point, all the generations of Lysilf that ever lived. It will not happen while the primary star still burns. They will travel until they meet the boundary of the universe as it contracts once more, following the galactic superclusters as they fall into the reborn dark mass at the center, the cosmic egg regathering all it has lost. Then they will be back, congregating around the black star husk, sharing the knowledge they have brought, searching through it for that elusive ultimate understanding. And after understanding, they will know what lies beyond, and with that, a hope of a further switch to yet another level of existence. Possibly the Lysilf will be the only entities to survive the present universe's final reconfiguration. But until then, they are content to observe and learn. Their very nature precludes them from taking part in the myriad dramas of life and matter unfolding before their ethereal senses. Or so they believe. Chapter 3. Eacius had come back to Saturn to die. 350,000 kilometers above the gas giant's wan beige cloudscape, the wormhole terminus expanded, and the Void Hawk slipped out into real space. Sensors mounted on the strategic defense satellites patrolling the gas giant's designated starship emergence zone found the infrared glow straight away as radar waves tickled the hull. Eacius hailed the nearest habitat with its infinity and identified itself. The satellite sensors slid their focus away, resuming their vigil. Captain and crew borrowed the Bitech starship's paramount senses to observe the glorious ringed planet outside, whilst all the time their minds wept with the knowledge of what was to come. They were flying above the gas giant's sunlit hemisphere, a nearly full crescent showing. The rings were spread out ahead and 2 degrees below them, seemingly solid, yet stirring, as if a gritty gas had been trapped between 2 panes of glass. Starlight twinkled through. Such majestic beauty seemed to deny their terrible reason for returning. Eacius's affinity touched their minds. "Feel no sorrow," the Bitech starship said silently. "I do not. What is, is. You have helped to fill my life. For that I thank you." Alone in her cabin, Captain Athene felt her mental tears become real. She was as tall as any woman of the 100 families whose geneticists had concentrated on enhancing sturdiness so their descendants could comfortably spend a lifetime coping with the arduous conditions of spaceflight. Her carefully formatted evolution had given her a long, handsome face, now heavily wrinkled, and rich auburn hair which had lost its youthful sheen to a lustrous silver. In her immaculate ocean-blue ship tunic, she projected a regal quality of assurance which always elicited total confidence from her crews. But now her composure had vanished, expressive violet eyes reflecting the utter anguish welling up inside. "No, Athene, please don't." "I can't help it," her mind cried back. "It's so unfair. We should go together. We should be allowed." There was an eldritch caress down her spine, more tender than any human lover could ever bestow. She had felt that same touch on every day of all her 108 years, her only true love. None of her 3 husbands received as much emotional devotion as Eacius, nor, she admitted with something approaching sacrilege, had her 8 children, and 3 of them she had carried in her own womb. But other Edenists understood and sympathized. With their communal affinity, there was no hiding emotions or truth. The birth bond between the Void Hawks and their captains was strong enough to survive anything the universe could possibly throw at them. "Except death," the most private section of her mind whispered. "It is my time," Eacius said simply. There was an overtone of contentment within the silent voice.